أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ياسين والقرآن الحكيم. إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم. تنزيل العزيز الرحيم. لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون. إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون. وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون. وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم. إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون. إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون. قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين. قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم. قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين. اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون. أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون. إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين. إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون. قيل ادخل الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون. بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. وما أنزلنا على قومه من بعده من جند من السماء وما كنا منزلين. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم خامدون. يا حسرة على العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون. ألم يروا كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون أنهم إليهم لا يرجعون. وإن كل لما جميع لدينا محضرون. وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون. وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وأعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون. ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون. سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم لا الشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون وآية لهم أنا حملنا ذريتهم في الفلك المشحون وخلقنا لهم من مثله ما يركبون وإن نشأ نغرقهم فلا صريخ لهم ولا هم ينقذون إلا رحمة منا ومتاعا إلى حين وإذا قيل لهم اتقوا ما بين أيديكم وما خلفكم لعلكم ترحمون وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين ما ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون فلا يستطيعون توصية ولا إلى أهلهم يرجعون ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون ولو نشاء لطمسنا على أعينهم فاستبقوا الصراط فأنى يبصرون ولو نشاء لمسخناهم على مكانتهم فما استطاعوا مضيا ولا يرجعون ومن نعمره ننكسه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون وما علمناه الشعر وما ينبغي له إن هو إلا ذكر وقرآن مبين لينذر من كان حيا ويحق القول على الكافرين أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما فهم لها مالكون وذللناها لهم فمنها ركوبهم ومنها يأكلون ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون أولم ير الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. We had some tafsir of the Quran Sharif 2 weeks ago. Then we had some hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and its explanation. Now today we will have again some poetry of Islah of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Ali. Some time back you have been listening to the poetry مسلمانو اٹھو بہر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ نہیں اب وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ. This is very similar to that but slightly different. And since the purpose of this poetry is to instill in our hearts the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to get us up from our indifference, from our negligence. So therefore we should listen to it with attention and see if it is reflecting what we are. It is a reflection of our state. آج کل ظلم و ستم اور شور و شر جو ہے جزوِ دین آج کل ظلم و ستم اور شور و شر ہیں جزوِ دین داخل تہذیب ہیں مکر و فریب اور بغض و کین. How he captures the حقیقت and reality of the times, the scenario. آج کل ظلم و ستم اور شور و شر ہیں جزوِ دین داخل تہذیب ہیں مکر و فریب اور بغض و کین آسمان پر اڑ رہے ہیں یوں تو اب اہل زمین آسمان پر اڑ رہے ہیں یوں تو اب اہل زمین وہ مگر ان ظلمتوں کو دور کر سکتے نہیں. Says, آج کل ظلم و ستم اور شور و شر ہیں جزوِ دین. Throughout the world, if you have to see, there's great talk about Islam, Islam, Islam. And there's arguments and quarrels and fights and debates and discussions that are taking place. But most of it is nothing but shor o shar, that's all. Loud noises. Most of it is nothing but just loud noises. And we have made that as part of deen. We have considered that to be the whole of deen. If we say something about Islam, whether we have got the true facts or not, whether it leads to fitnas or whether it leads to arguments, whether it leads to propagation of batil, but as long as we say it in the name of Islam, then we feel we have done our duty to Islam. آج کل ظلم و ستم اور شور و شر ہیں جزوِ دین. And then there's so much of injustice. So much of injustice. This is something that I've been emphasizing tremendously. That there's so much of injustices in our lives. And we only talk about the injustices at the international level, the injustices of the governments of the world. But the injustices in our own homes, in our own lives, how much of injustice. We don't show any concern for the rights of people. We are not considerate. We suppress, we oppress, we tyrannize, we taunt. Injustice of any kind that we are committing, it is not going to go unnoticed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, Aajkal zulmo sitam shoro shar hain juzvedi. Like that, alhamdulillah, we all will claim piety and taqwa and God fear and everything. And we will project such kind of piety also in our outward appearance. But in reality, he says, Aajkal zulmo sitam aur shoro shar hain juzvedi. Dakhile tehzeeb hai makro fareb aur bughzo ki. Dakhile tehzeeb hai. It is as if it is part of our culture now. As if it is part of our culture. What is part of our culture? Makro fareb aur bughzo ki. Although he's talking about the non-Muslim governments and rulers and people, but at the same time, the condition of the Muslims is no different. So therefore he is saying that dakhile tehzeeb hai. Because if you look at the non-Muslim governments, it is part of their cultural lifestyle now. Diplomacy. What is diplomacy? The art of telling lies. That's diplomacy. That how the better lie you speak, the more diplomat you are. And that is where our Muslim governments were all taken for a ride. By the very sweet talking of America and Europe and Britain and Russia. So they believed that these people have got great affection, sympathy, compassion, kindness. They are very generous. They are very large-hearted and very accommodating. But in the meantime, it was nothing but makro fareb. Lies, cheat, deceit. The 1967 war also. What was there behind it? Nothing but deceit. Egypt was told, was hold on, hold on. In the meantime, everything was bombarded. So that is part of culture now, he says. Aaj dakhile tehzeeb hai makro fareb aur bughzo ki. Malice, jealousy, envy, greed, hatred, enmity. Now all these type of things have become part of our cultural lifestyles. Now the Muslim and all these types of sins and evils, they never went together. Accidental sin was accidental. But a Muslim never walked on the surface of the earth with hearts filled with anger and with greed and with pride and with arrogance. And in his life there was no such thing as cheating, deceiving, makro fareb. The Muslim was an upright person, honest person, truthful person. Aaj kal zulmo sitam aur shor o shar hai juzve di, dakhile tehzeeb hai makro fareb aur bughzo ki. Aasma par ur rahe hai yun to ab ahle zami, wo magar in zulmaton ko dur kar sakte nahi. If you have to look at the progress that man made, the people of the earth are now flying very, very high in the skies. They are flying high. They've gone up to the moon, Mars, and where are they going to go? So in appearance, it seems that man has made tremendous amount of progress. So much progress he made that from the earth, now he is right in the skies. But that progress is not the progress of man. That is the progress of iron, of steel, of plastic, of petrol, of oil. Now all those components of that aeroplane, it's a progress of that. That they were parts of earth, now they are flying there in the skies. But that is not in reality the progress of man. the technology Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave man, and he was able to make aeroplanes and spaceships and helicopters and everything else. So we will say that that was progress of all those elements. Progress of man is when he makes use of those inventions of his according to the directions and command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When he himself flies high, when he takes off from the ground, and when he flies high in space, and his flight does not only take place from the earth to the moon, or to Mars, or Jupiter, or any other planet. His flight takes off from the earth, from the arsh, from the farsh, to the arsh of Allah. That's the flight of man. When he takes off in that flight, then we say now man has made progress. Then we will say that he made progress now. He was also of the earth. But now his progress, that he is gone right up to the arsh. That means his heart is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is occupied in all worldly activities, but his heart is with Allah Ta'ala. Then that is the progress of that man. So the person has to see how much of progress he has made as a human being. Therefore, Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah alayhi to say, agar ghaus banna ho, khutub banna ho, wali banna ho, sab kuch banna ho to kahin aur jao, insan banna ho to mere paas aao. To become insan is the most difficult thing in this world today. To become a proper human being. Look at the akhlaq of the human beings today. What different is it from that of dogs, cheetahs, scorpions, snakes, all these type of things? What different is it? They also bite, they sting, they devour, they harm. That is what the animals do. And if the human being also does the same thing, then what different is he from the animal? So the progress of the human being is something else. Yes, in technology, in science, in all other things, the progress that he makes, is nothing wrong with it. Allah Ta'ala created man, and Allah Ta'ala created the whole universe for his benefit. So now he is making use of the technology for his benefit, there's nothing wrong. But he must not think that with the progress of technology, he has progressed. He will remain what he is. If the person is a bare namazi, he's not making any namaz. He's a Muslim, but he's making no namaz, no roza, no zakat, no hajj. His akhlaq and his character is questionable. He is indulging in adultery, in fornication. He is watching all the filth. He is indulging in all kinds of sins and vices. But he is an inventor of the most modern machinery. Then we'll say, well, he has invented something that will help and benefit the people. But how much progress has he made? He hasn't made any progress. In fact, he has degenerated sometimes to the level of animalism in his akhlaq. There are so many people like that around the globe you will find. That if you have to talk business with them, if you have to talk science with them, if you have to talk technology with them, then they have got so much to contribute and so much of input to make and so much of advices and nasihats they can give you with regards to those aspects. But when it comes to his personal life, then he hasn't even taken off the ground. He's still there. So all these things have become possible for man now due to technology, that he is flying high in the skies. Wo magar in zulmaton ko dur kar sakte nahi. They just cannot remove these darknesses which have engulfed the hearts of mankind. That they cannot seem to remove. No matter how much progress they make in technology and in science and in other areas, but until they do not make progress in their own lives, they do not change their character, they do not change their cultural lifestyles, their behavior, their morals, their etiquette, then they have made no progress. They are not human beings. That same example again comes to mind where the Allah Wala was standing in a very, very busy marketplace. Thousands of people were going past, but he was standing. Somebody asked him that, what are you waiting for? Or who are you waiting for? He said, I'm waiting for man. I want to meet some man, some human being. So he said, all these people passing here, were they not human beings? He said, there's no human, I can't see any human being amongst them. Human being, Adam is the person who has the sifat of Adam. Adamiyat we say, so the person must have the sifat of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he is a true human being. We say these people, they haven't got the sifat, the attributes of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So no matter how many they may be, but they are not human beings in my sight. So he said, well then you'll have to wait a very, very long time for that kind of human being. So he said, wo magar in zulmaton ko dur kar sakte nahi. So with all the technology, you cannot remove the darkness that engulfs the heart of sins, of vices, of evils, of indulgences in haram. Can the technology remove that? Is there any machinery that the person can go and stand in front of that machine and all that evil from the heart just comes out? They cannot remove that darkness. That darkness can only be removed by a true Muslim. Person who is a true Muslim, then he can remove the darkness. The darkness of the world can only be removed by true Muslims. Jis taraf dekho chadi hai jang qatl aam hai har jagah mahshar bapa hai shor hai kohram hai kyun na ho na haq shanasi ka yahi anjaam hai humne alam ka jo zamin hai to bas islam hai. This is whichever side you look, there's nothing but wars, battles, wars everywhere. There's nothing but killing, murders, bomb blasts taking away the lives of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, missiles destroying so much of people and properties, innocent people all losing their lives. Jis taraf dekho, whichever side you look, there's nothing but jung, wars. And qatal is aam, killing is so rampant and so rife. The value of man has decreased so much, nobody seems to have put any kind of value on man. Man, which was the paragon of Allah Ta'ala's creation, got no value. Look at that one cat, was given business class when it was found somewhere in another country. It was a stowaway cat, they say. But look at the ihtiram they made of the cat, the respect that was shown, the compassion that was shown to that cat. And Islam itself teaches that you must be kind, that you must have compassion even for creatures. But what I am getting at is that cats, dogs, monkeys, birds, creatures, they have got lots of rights and they are given a lot of compassion and care. People are leaving behind in their wills thousands of pounds for the care of their dog. When they die, in the will they say, well, this dog of mine must inherit so much and it must be provided with all the best facilities. But no value on man, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's own creation. Man for whom the whole universe was made, no value. You can bomb him anywhere, you can shoot him anywhere, you can kill him anywhere, you can destroy him anywhere, nothing. No value on the life of man. Why? Because man himself forgot what value Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given to him. In his akhlaq, in his character, in his dealings, in every aspect of his life, he himself does not have any kind of realization that he is man, he is human being, and especially Muslim, that he is a Muslim. So when he has lost his own value, he hasn't recognized himself, so his value is lost in the sight of people also. The person does not recognize himself, he has forgotten himself, who he is. So then nobody else recognizes him too. jisko dekho lad raha hai mao man ke waaste, jisko dekho lad raha hai mao man ke waaste, kar raha hai jaan ko qurban tan ke waaste. Sab to hai shamshir zan qaum o watan ke waaste, tu utha talwar rabbe zulminan ke waaste. Wherever you see people are fighting, what are they fighting for? What is the fight all about? Where in the world are they really fighting for the establishment of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on earth? Where can you say that there is war that is going on for the establishment of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in reality? That they really want the deen of Allah ta'ala. You will get some exceptions. But throughout the world, wherever there are wars that are going on, different countries are at loggerheads and at war. And all the war in the Middle East and other places, what is it all about? Is it for deen? It's for nothing but oil, it's nothing but wealth, property, gold, silver, uranium, diamonds, copper, homes, buildings, businesses. That is what the war is all about. There's nobody that is really fighting for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Very few people are really giving their lives for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. That their fight is for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Many of those people who are giving their lives also, and they say it is for the sake of Allah ta'ala, but behind their minds is that anger that has built up because somebody was suppressed or oppressed. So now there's anger that has built up, that I must just go and blow up the restaurant, blow up the bus, blow up this, blow up that, let people die. And we say we are, its fight is for the sake of Allah ta'ala. So you will get some exceptions, but generally it is, the fights are not for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is for our own nafs. Most of the fight is for the sake of nafs, for wealth, for property. That is what it is. And yet Shariat itself allows, it's because it's a very balanced deen. There's no extremism in deen. Every situation has been taken care of. If a person, in the defense of his own property, in the defense of his own family, in the defense of his own children, if the person has to lose his life, then he is a shaheed. If some armed robbers have to enter somebody's home, Allah Ta'ala must protect us. And in the defense of the children, or the defense of the family, in the defense of his own life, the person has to be shot and killed, then he gets shahadat. So that shows that it is permissible, and not only permissible, but it is rewarded if the person has to just lose his life for the defense of his own family and his own wealth and property, in the protection of that. So imagine what amount of reward there will be if the person is giving his life for the protection of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. If there's reward in just protecting his own life and his own property, if he has to become shaheed, he's rewarded. Then the person who is giving his life for the sake of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, then what great rewards there must be. That is why shahadat is such a great status Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to the shaheed. It is so rewarding that he is trying to defend the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the property of the Muslim Ummah, the land of the Muslim Ummah, the countries of the Muslim Ummah. So all those things are rewarded. But what I am emphasizing is that there must be no injustice from our side. I am talking about the world in general, where the wars are going on, that the majority of the people, there is nothing in those wars except nafs. And the war and battle is for nothing else except gold, silver, oil wells, uranium, diamonds, etc. That is what the war is all about. So he says everywhere that is the condition. So you, O Muslim, you should not be raising your sword and your gun again for the same purpose that the others are raising. If they are throwing their bombs and if they are fighting for the sake of gold and silver, your fight should not be just for gold and silver. Your fight should not be just for oil wells. Your fight should be for the sake of the defense and the propagation of the deen of Islam. That is why a Muslim gives his life. That he wants to see the deen of Islam protected, or in the propagation of the deen of Islam, or in the protection of the property of the Muslim Ummah, the person is losing his life. Then he is a shaheed. So he says, if you want to raise your gun and you want to also bomb, and if you also want to fight, then this is what the maqsad should be. It shouldn't be anything else. And again, you have to follow the usools of Sharia. When jihad, and what is allowed and permissible, and what is not permissible. If you abide by all those restrictions and fulfill those conditions, then you will get the high stages. So he says, this is what is happening around the world.
पेट के खातिर से है जो बरसरे पेकार है लुकम एतर के लिए बस हाथ में तलवार है पेट के खातिर से है जो बरसरे पेकार है लुकम एतर के लिए बस हाथ में तलवार है अहले बातिल सब हैं तो हक का अलम तू हक का अलम बरदार है अहले बातिल सब है तू हक का अलम बरदार है तू ही आलम की खिलाफत का बस एक हकदार है
ऑल द वॉज आर फॉर द सेक ऑफ पेट स्टमक डजंट सीम टू बी गेटिंग फुल वन स्मॉल लिटिल स्टमक जस्ट डजंट सीम टू बी गेटिंग फुल Countries have billions and billions, but they still want to grab another land, grab another country, destroy another community, and try to build up more and more of their assets. The wars around the world are for nothing but pet. But those are people who are Ahle Batil. He says, Ahle Batil, well, we accept that they will engage in wars for the sake of their pet, for the sake of their stomachs, for the sake of increase in wealth, and property and land. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala didn't create you, O Muslim, for the same reason. You were given Khilafat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made you Khalifa on earth. So what was your duty? What was the duty of the Muslim? He wasn't created for business. He wasn't created for mining or for farming or for agriculture or anything of that kind. All those things are necessities of life. And there's nothing wrong, as we say, that we encourage people must go in all the different fields and make progress. But what was his maqsad in this world? For what was he created? So he was created for the purpose of Khilafat. Nobody else can fulfill this function of Khilafat except a true Muslim. One hand is Ibadat and the other hand is Khilafat. Both things he has to do.
Ahle duniya ho rahe hain sakht bezare hayat. Ahle duniya ho rahe hain sakht bezare hayat. Ek namuna hashr ka hai unka bazare hayat. Unke aage pesh kar tu asl mein yaare hayat unke aage pesh kar tu asl mein yaare hayat bahre khushnoodi e rab ho tera har kaare hayat
if you can only understand this poetry, that's why I say don't worry about the croaky voice. Listen to what he's saying. Ahle dunya ho rahe sakht bezare hayat. They are restless. I'm telling you, they are restless. Those who know the lives of these people who we think are enjoying life, they are restless in that which Allah Ta'ala has given to them. There's no peace, there's no happiness, there's no sukoon. Why else would they take so much of drugs, so much of drugs? And when the effect of the drug wears out, then they take more and more. They're searching for peace. They're searching for contentment. They're searching for sukoon in their lives. They just cannot seem to find it because it is not where they are searching for it. They are searching for it in the cinemas, in the theaters, in the discos, in porn films, porn sites. They are searching for it in dancing, in drinking, in gambling, in all these type of things. They are searching for happiness. If you ask all those people who are indulging in these type of vices and their lives have become restless, what are they searching for? What are they in search of? The bottom line would be they are searching for peace and happiness. They want happiness. They want enjoyment. They want enjoyment. They want happiness. But it's not bringing them any enjoyment and happiness. No true enjoyment and true happiness they are getting in all those areas where they are searching for it. For that little while they seem to get a little bit of pleasure. For that little while. And after that again their lives are filled with that same restlessness, uneasiness, anxieties and worries and problems. So much of murders and shootings and killings and rape and everything else is taking place because they just can't find satisfaction. They just can't find satisfaction. Nobody seems to be faithful. Their wives are not faithful. Their children are not trustworthy and faithful. They have become restless. They thought in those parties and in those fun fairs and in all other kinds of entertainment of the haram kind, they would find some kind of peace and sukoon, but they never found it. But the sad part is that the Muslim is also now searching for it in those very places. Those places where they did not find it and they are not finding it and they are not going to find it. The Muslim is also going and searching in those same places for happiness, for satisfaction, for entertainment. He goes to those same places. And he also wants sukoon in drugs, in drink, in wine, in women. And he thinks he's going to find sukoon. But he just cannot find it because it's not there. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Only in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala will the hearts find satisfaction. That means obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, their example that if the person has to drink the waters of the ocean, it's not going to quench his thirst. It's salty water. So it's going to increase his thirst. So the person who is indulging in sins and is looking for peace and sukoon and happiness in these type of places, he's not going to find it. It will increase his thirst for sins. The more sins he's going to commit, the more his thirst will increase. You will never find a person who has committed zina once or twice and he say, well, I'm satisfied. I committed zina once or twice, I'm satisfied. Or he read one or two filthy magazines and he say, I'm satisfied now. I read one or two, now that's enough. Or he watched one or two porn sites and then he say, well, look, now I watched one or two and now it's enough. He will never be satisfied. The person who is a gambler, why do we say because he's an addictive gambler? He's addicted. He has become an addict. The drug addict, we say. Because they never found satisfaction in that once or twice or 10 times or 20 times, they never found satisfaction. It kept on increasing their thirst for more, more sins. And the more sins they committed, the more restless their lives became. So he said, Ehle dunya ho rahe sakht bezare hayat. Ek namuna hashr ka hai unka bazare hayat. It is nothing but qiyamah if a person has to really know what is happening in the film world, film industries and all these other kinds of places where they think they are enjoying themselves. There is nothing but restlessness. It's like qiyamah in their lives. They want to take their lives, they want to commit suicide. They project a very different picture when they are acting, when they are dancing and when they are singing. Then the world thinks that they are enjoying life, enjoying life. But in reality, there's no enjoyment. There's nothing but restlessness. So what must you do, he says. O Muslim, what must you do? In other words, what must we do? Unke aage pesh kar tu asle mein yaare hayat. Bahre khushnudiye rab ho tera har kare hayat. That means they are waiting for you. They want to see wherever they can get some kind of peace and sukoon and happiness, they are waiting for it. So they are waiting for the message of Islam. They have got nothing else to hope for. It's the message of Islam only that can give them that peace, that sukoon, that contentment, that satisfaction. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to the people of Makkah Mukarramah, to the Arab world in the beginning. So what was the condition? Same condition. Fighting, drinking, gambling, fornication, adultery, murder, killing, everything that you can think of under the sun. But they were not enjoying any kind of true happiness. It was the message of Islam which changed their lives. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them true enjoyment, real happiness, real sukoon in their lives. How peaceful Makkah Mukarramah and Madina Tayyipa became. Everyone was trustworthy, everyone was honest, everybody was charitable, generous, kind, compassionate, loving, caring. 124,000 companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the plains of Arafat. Each and every one of them a shining star, guiding star. Ashabi kan nujum, bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My sahabas are like the guiding stars. Any one of them you follow for your hidayat, you'll get hidayat. I mentioned in one of the majlises, one of our majalis, that people used to, those days, follow the stars in their travels. They used to follow the stars. The stars used to guide them. The different stars they used to follow to go to certain destinations. But then you had to pick the right star to guide you. It was not that any star you take, you'll reach your destination. The person that wants to go to China and he took the wrong star, then he won't reach China. He'll go somewhere else. So there had to be some knowledge of those stars and then follow the correct star. Then you will get to your destination. The ships, that is how they used to move. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Ashabi, all my companions, each and every one of them, without exception, they are guiding stars. Whichever one you follow, you will get hidayat, you will get guidance. Now, what a claim. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala confirms this claim of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When he says, Radiyallahu anhum wa radwan, Allah ta'ala was pleased with them. So each and every one of them a shining star, a guiding star. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi used to give the example that that if there were, for argument's sake, 10,000 people, of course there were thousands of them, but just if you say that there were 10,000 people, or there were 100,000 people, 100,000 companions of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, then if one person enjoyed some kind of happiness, one person amongst the 100,000, 124,000 or how many they were, if just one companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam enjoyed some kind of happiness, then all the rest also enjoyed satisfaction and happiness. Then my brother Muslim, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with this fortune or blessed him with this ni'mat. So everyone was happy. There was not one person that was jealous and envious. And if one person suffered, then all of them felt the pain that my brother is suffering. If there were 10,000, then the same. And if there were 100,000, then the same. And if there are more than that, then the same. If one person suffered, everybody suffered. And if one person got happiness, everybody got happiness. Now, can we say that about ourselves? Just yesterday, I was replying to one letter. The person wants some islah. He's not from here, he's from another place. But now, he was honest and truthful in whatever he mentions. He says that, in my heart, there is always this jealousy. That when I see some friends of mine making progress, his own friends, but when they're making progress in the material world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is blessing them with more. Then he says, I tell them, I'm very happy Allah ta'ala is giving you, and I'm making dua for you, Allah ta'ala must give you more. He says, I say that, but it's not in my heart. In my heart, I'm unhappy. Why are they getting it? Why I'm not getting it? So that is our condition. And those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their condition was that they expressed happiness when anybody got any kind of ni'mat and bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, now, O Muslim, it is your duty that you should present to the world which is waiting for the message of Islam, what Islam is. And the best way to do that is through our akhlaq, through our character, through our dealings with people. We are neighbors of non-Muslims. We have clients who are non-Muslims. We have workers who are non-Muslims, laborers who are non-Muslims. We have managers who are non-Muslims. In so many departments we come across or we meet with people who are non-Muslims. So there's so much of opportunities to showcase Islam. We always talk about showcasing. So there's so much of opportunities Allah Ta'ala has given. And for every Muslim there is that opportunity. It's not only for those people who are in the world of propagation. They're sitting in some office or they're giving da'wat and tabligh. It's for every Muslim. There are so many opportunities of presenting Islam. And wallah, I'm telling you that those little things, those are the things that attract the person towards Islam. You'll be surprised what kinds of things attracted people towards Islam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept in Islam such a kind of magnetic effect that little actions of a Muslim and it attracts the person towards Islam. And if that person doesn't accept Islam, then at least his enmity, his hatred and dislike for that Muslim will diminish or it will disappear altogether. In our relationship with them, how we deal with them, how we talk to them, how we digest our own anger, we don't blow our top over little things. And the smile with which and cheer with which we talk to them, we address them with some kind of respect. They are, after all, human beings. And then we present the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in our lives. Then they will be attracted. And this opportunity every woman has in her home, every man has in his life, in the business world or wherever you are, in the schools, in the colleges, in the universities, on the road also, the Muslim, he can present the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and win the heart of the disbeliever. A Muslim is traveling, he's got a beard on, and he's got a topi on. He's recognized easily that he's a Muslim. If a Muslim is driving a car, and he's got the appearance of a Muslim, that he can be recognized from a distance also that this is a Muslim that's driving. How much of opportunities, even whilst you are a driver, you got to attract the person towards deen. There are many people who are walking, they are elderly, and you know that they can't be hijackers. Some elderly people with basket, with this, that, you're giving them a lift. Or at the robot, or on the road somewhere. Now you know that that person wants to cross. You waited a little bit and you said, right, okay, you carry on, you cross. You don't drive through him. You give him an opportunity to cross. Or in many other ways, instead of going into road rage as they talk about nowadays, parking place, you are trying to take that parking. And then you see that there's another person that is trying to get a gap into that parking. So now instead of fighting and blowing our tops, then we said, all right, you take this parking now and I'll wait. So now that person will look that who was this? This is a very different kind of person. Another person would have said, no, I was coming in. It is my parking. So instead of fighting now this, so he'll look at us and he'll say, well, look, this person looks very different. He's definitely a Muslim. So that is the akhlaq of the Muslim. So in every area of our life, we have got the opportunity to attract a person towards Islam. So they are restless. They do not have anything to present anymore. Governments of the world have legislated everything. Same-sex marriage is legalized. Abortion legalized. Adultery by consent legalized. Which sin is not legalized? So their lives are going to become even more restless. Now, if the Muslim doesn't have in his life any kind of sukoon and akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then how is he going to attract the other person?
Ahle dunya ho rahe hain sakht bezare hayat, ek namuna hashr ka hai unka bazare hayat. Unke aage pesh kar tu asl mayare hayat, behre khushnoodiye rab ho tera har kare hayat.
For all your actions must be for the sake of the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Your kari hayat, whatever you do, must be for Allah ta'ala's pleasure, then it is going to attract. Our niyats must be khalis, as we were discussing niyat last week, and I was thinking of continuing, but we went on to this. If our niyat is the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then that itself, that niyat itself has got an attraction. When the person's heart is ikhlas, then that ikhlas is a magnet itself. It attracts. And if the person has got his own motive behind it, he's got his own maqsad behind it, this is a matlabi dunya, and the person has got his own matlab behind it, so then it's not going to attract. One person read that if the person has to make ibadat for 40 days, khalis, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cause the fountains of wisdom to rise in his heart. Person, if he makes ibadat 40 days, khalis, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will cause the fountains of wisdom to flow in his heart. So this Allah person started 40 day ibadat he made. 40 days he made ibadat. And at the end of it, nothing happened. No fountains of wisdom gushed forth in his heart. He remained where he was. So he had a bit of a doubt on this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he went to one Buzrug and he told him that this is what happened, that I made ibadat for 40 days I made. I stayed away from sins, I made my namaz, I made my zikr, I made my tilawat, and I fulfilled all the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, but nothing happened. No fountains of wisdom. So I'm getting a little bit of doubt on this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is 100% correct. But you made ibadat for the sake of those fountains of wisdom. Your ibadat was for those fountains of wisdom. You didn't make ibadat for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The condition in that hadith is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala you make. Your niyat should have been solely the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Then it was Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who would have fulfilled that promise and given you some wisdom in your heart. But you made it so that you get wisdom. So your niyat was the wisdom, it wasn't pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So ikhlas is something that attracts. If a person doesn't do it with ikhlas, then it is just like that one Maulana Sahab was going through some village. I mentioned this before too, and in that village he announced that you all should start making salat, and these are the virtues of salat. Now many, many villages, they don't make any salat. In our cities they don't make, if we don't make in some villages, then what's surprising? So one person, he told him that if you make namaz, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give this, will give that. But he knew that this person is from the village, he doesn't understand too much about akhirat. So he told him, you'll get an ox. If you make ibadat, namaz for 40 days with jamaat, you'll get an ox. So he started making. After 40 days, he went to look in the yard, there's no ox there. So he got hold of this Maulana again, he said, you're speaking a lot of lies. You said, after 40 days I make salat, I will get an ox, but no ox came in the yard. So he said, that was just for encouragement's sake, I told you. Where does it say in any hadith that you'll get an ox if you make 40 day namaz? But just for encouragement, I told you that you make, so that you get in the habit, after that you'll carry on. But there was no such thing as an ox will come. He said, I knew that you're speaking lies, therefore I too didn't make wuzu for 40 days. I knew you were speaking lies, so therefore 40 days I too made the namaz without wuzu. So ikhlas is something that has got attraction in it. It is a magnet that pulls. So if the person with ikhlas, he is going to do his actions, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put that effect in that action of his, that it will attract the person towards Islam. It will draw him towards Islam. So let us make some improvement. These majalis are not just for attending, listening and then going home and forgetting about everything. When we are discussing these issues, then we must x-ray ourselves, must see how much of difference has it made to our lives. Where we were and where are we heading for? Have we taken off or are we still there? Has our anger decreased or has it increased? Or is it the same? And all our other weaknesses and shortcomings, has any change has come about in it? So now this point which I mentioned, that every way, in any situation, whether it's in our homes, in our bazaars, in our shops, in our marketplaces, in the schools, in the colleges, in the universities, in the aeroplane, at the airport, wherever we are, there are different situations that arise, different kinds of situations that arise, where our iman is tested. And that is where the Muslim has the opportunity of, as I say, showcasing his Islam. That what is his behavior at that time. Sometimes we feel so ashamed the way the Muslim behaves in different situations. And those people, because our libas they see, our dressing they see, then they can recognize that this person is a Muslim. Then they don't talk about us, they talk about Islam. Look at this Muslim, look at this Muslim. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to change our lifestyles. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dearly loves the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and He wants to give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Not only in the akhirah, He wants to give us in this world too. But it seems that we just do not want to take those first steps towards Allah ta'ala. So let us make at least this much change, that when we go home, see if our character, there's a little bit of change in the home, or in our shops, or in our dealings with our staff and with our neighbors and with our customers. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and give you the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brothers, we can't help with it. After Isha becomes too late. I know, I've been told that many, many business houses, it's difficult for them to, they only close at half past 5, 6 o'clock, because it's the month of December. Then by the time they go home and come back, it's late. So they can't make it, but we can't help it. Allah Ta'ala will reward them for their niyats, but those who can make it, alhamdulillah. But after Isha becomes too late, and then people don't get up for Fajr namaz after that. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين ہم گنہگار ہیں ہم سیاہکار ہیں ہم بدکار ہیں ہم مجرم ہیں خطاکار ہیں ہم گندے ہیں ناپاک ہیں نالائق ہیں سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے Ya Allah, all the problems in the world are because of us. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our lives. My beloved Allah, we are not practicing upon the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We have distanced ourselves from the deen. Ya Allah, we don't have the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam in our life. We are unconcerned what we say, what we look at, what we listen to. We aren't concerned about our behavior, our actions, our morals, our etiquettes. My beloved Allah, we have been caught up in the storms of fitnas. The storms of fitnas are lashing at us from all sides. Who is there to protect us besides you? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us all with good health. Ya Allah, we are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Whosoever is sick and ailing, whether they are amongst us, in the hospitals, in clinics, in homes, wherever they may be, bless them with complete shifa from all sicknesses, ailments and diseases. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are on journey, make them reach their destination safely. Those who intend going for Hajj, make it extremely easy for them. Bless them with Maqbool and Mabroor Hajj. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Don't test us in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. My beloved Allah, we have to face you on the day of judgment. What capital do we have of good deeds? by Allah, how are we going to face you? But my beloved Allah, we have learned from your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. My beloved Allah, don't test us on the day of Qiyamah. Cause us to cross pull Sirat like lightning and enter into Jannat without any reckoning. Bless us with barakat in our homes, in our businesses, in our lives, in our time, and in every ni'mat and bounty of yours. Ya Allah, that angel of death is sure to visit us whether we like it or not. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theatre, gambling den, adultery, fornication, popping drugs in our mouths, or any kind of haram activity. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our parents, our wives and children, family members and the ummah with all the goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the ummah of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat and make everyone worthy of entry into Jannat. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires, the wishes, the aspirations that are in the hearts of those who have raised their hands this part of the evening. Ya Allah, fulfill all their good wishes, good desires, good niyats. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.